사랑하는 성도 여러분, 전 세계 및
Dear brothers and sisters and all many members and saints from the branch churches and from the world and the GCN viewers, this is the fifth lecture on Genesis. God Himself created the four big rivers on earth. The water that formed these rivers came down from the Eden in the second heaven. God opened the windows of the second heaven and poured the water down to the four different places on earth to form the four big rivers. As the time went by, after the 6 days of the creation, other rivers were formed naturally too. But what is the reason that God Himself specifically made these four rivers? It's because these four rivers would become the main stage of the four human cultivation, serving as the cradle of the human civilization. From now on, let me briefly explain the spiritual meaning and the rough location of those four rivers. Today's message is difficult, so you should listen carefully. The names of rivers and the place names in the Bible are interpreted based on the Hebrew word, which is the etymology of the Old Testament. Of course, we can take into consideration the meaning of the Hebrew words. However, if you must know the spiritual meaning that God has given to rivers, you can fully understand that meaning. Also, there are some people who try to find the Garden of Eden or the source of these four rivers on earth. But the Garden of Eden and the source of the four rivers are located not on earth, but in second heaven. No matter how much researchers they do with a cutting-edge technology, they will never be able to find either of them on earth. The spiritual world is on completely different dimensions from the physical world. Now, let us look at into the first river. Genesis chapter 2, 11 to 12 says, the name of the first is a Pishon. It flows around the whole land of the Havilah, where there's gold. The gold of the land is good, and the bdellium and the onyx stones are there. The literal meaning of the first river, Pishon, is to flow abundantly. But God explained to us that Pishon also has a meaning of the connecting, continent with the continent and the opening way between the continents. If you know the location of a Pishon, you can understand why God said that. It says a Pishon is around the whole land of the Havilah. Havilah is near India today. India was formed centered on the Indus River, which is one of the four cradles of a civilization. As you look at the map, you can find the Indus River is in the central part between Asia and Europe. The ancient east-west trade route known as the Silk Road developed around this river. The Pishon that God made is not exactly the same as the Indus River today. With the passage of the time, the river's flow has changed greatly. But the rough location is similar to that of the Indus River today. So, as you see the location, you understand the meaning of the name is to open a way between continents. It also says that the land of the Havilah, there are gold and bdellium and onyx stone. Here the bdellium is a precious spice. Josephus, a famous Jewish historian, also said bdellium is a very expensive spice coming from India, Arabia, and Babylon. Onyx stone is a precious stone. Havila was a land where gold, precious spice, and precious stones were produced. Then why did God write the Bible that land of the Havila produced gold, bdellium, and onyx stone? Why does the Bible record if the germs were found in this land? It's to foreshadow that the land would be breeding ground of idolatry. Here, a breeding ground refers to the place where certain phenomena, ideas, or powers develop and grow. This land of the Havila is the breeding ground of idolatry. And from this land, Buddhism, Hinduism, Jainism, and Skinism developed. The followers of these religions make the idol and burn incense before them. Some research material says there are 330 million gods in the Hindu myth. There are 330 million gods, and the people might not be able to remember all their names. Japan also has many gods, but number of the gods in the Japan is small compared to that in India. And India is a very large country. There are so many kinds of idols. The people of this land are always having rituals for idols. God foreknew that the land of Havila, around which the patience flows, would have become a breeding ground for idolatry. As said, Genesis chapter 2:11, it flows around the whole land of the Havila. Pishon was a big river flowing around the wide area, so we can see that culture of the idolatry also developed across a wide area. Why did God make such a big river, knowing that the idolatry would be rampant in the land of the Havila? Had he had not made this river there, people wouldn't have gathered there and they wouldn't have created so many idols. But there's a reason why God did it. God wanted to accomplish the human cultivation in perfect justice. Psalm 96:4-5 says, "For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made in heavens." He created, the one who created the heavens, the earth, the humans, and all things is the only true God. God our Father, whom we believe in, is only the true God. However, today the forces of the Antichrist are trying to integrate all idols into one. As written, God is the only God who is worthy to be praised and worshipped. But Lucifer and the evil spirits also want to receive the worship from man. They entice people and cause them to think that there are many other gods. The all other gods are false and nothing. Satan deceived many people into serving them. Serving other gods is actually to serve Lucifer and the evil spirits. God could have prevented these meaningless gods and idols from being made in the first place. So why didn't he just get rid of them? Even though there are so many other empty and meaningless, God wanted people to understand that there's only one true God. God wanted to people to seek and meet God through their free will. What if there were no other false God? Even though people serve God, it's not completely out of their free will. If there is only one God who exists, people would have to serve the one God without having to discern who is the true God. If this had been the cause, Lucifer could have protested to God saying, "It's not fair." It means God is one more favorable term with the people than Lucifer. In a simply good environment, people do not truly serve the love God. We can see this right in Adam and Eve. In the end, they failed to truly love God and ate the fruits from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and betrayed God. And it's very important to maintain justice in human cultivation, so God did not prevent the creation of a many false gods. For example, King David committed a crime when he becomes king. Isn't it possible for God to keep him from doing evil? But God didn't. Why? God loved David so much, but even though David also loved God so much, God didn't protect him when he committed the crime. King David had realized it if receiving advice. However, what was the result? Because God just watched them. King David became a sanctified king who abandoned even the shape of evil through the tough trials. He became a king who loved only God with his all heart. King David could remove his fundamental evil deep inside, so he forgave the people even if he cursed him, and he asked his subject and the general to not to kill his son, who rebelled, meanwhile suffering from all indignities. He sufficiently proved that he had no evil in his heart. However, he was not sanctified like this from the beginning. Through refinement, he was changed, and God knew it and did not stop him doing evil. God wanted to people to serve the only true God alone, even though there would be so many false gods. God's purpose in the beginning human cultivation was to gain the children who would seek and believe in God on their own. So there are people who realize that God is the true God and believe in Him. But there are also many who worship the false gods. Idolatry sometimes prevailed even among the chosen people of God, the Israelites. And every time God showed it that He's the only true God through His prophets, He pleaded with the people to cast away the false gods and come back to Him. God spoke to the Israelites sometimes like a father who had lost his child and sometimes like a husband who lost his wife. Isaiah chapter 1 to 3 says, "Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, for the Lord speaks. Sons I've reared and brought up, but they've revolted against me. An ox knows its owner, and a donkey its master's manager, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand." Hosea chapter 2, 19 to 20 says, "I will be troth to you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and compassion, and I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, then you will know the Lord." While giving the above message to the people through the prophets, he also proved that He is the only true God by the showing the amazing and the powerful works. God has proved Himself through His people, Moses and the 10 plagues. Elijah and the fire came down from the heaven, and Elisha and all sort of the miracles and the wonders proved. The Jordan River split and the walls of the Jericho fell through Joshua and through Peter and the Apostle Paul in the New Testament through this beloved servant of God. He let people know Him as Himself is the only true God. Only then did the people believe in God and they realized that the heaven and hell exist. God still works through me. In the time of King Ahab, when the idolatry was most prevalent, there was a battle to show who the true God is. Elijah stood alone against the 850 priests of the Gentiles gods. They competed to see who could bring down the fire from the heaven and burn the sacrifices. Baal and the Asherah gods, the 850 priests that served could not bring down any fire, for they were false gods. 1 Kings 18:39, so when the old people saw it, they fell under their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord is God." God showed that He is in the true God at different times through His prophet. However, when Israel still did not listen, God turned His face away from them. The result was a war, famine, disease, and other forms of the trials that came upon them. When they had unbearable pain in trials, they sought God again. Then God healed them and restored Israel. Even today, God showed that He is the Creator and the true God through His servant. Only God controls the life and the death and the blessing and the curses. The power to create things from nothing also belongs to God alone. Psalm 62:11, once God has spoken, twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. The power belongs to God. If anyone gives a power, it's from God. The gift and the power of healing the sick, the functions need to be differentiated. These are not similar at all, but because people don't know about the spirit world, they think they are similar. It would not make sense to say that Moses, Elisha, Elijah, Joshua, Peter, or Apostle Paul received the gift of a healing or divine healing. Killing kind of germs is called the gift of a divine healing, but opening the eyes of the blind and performing works of the creation and performing wonders and the signs should not be compared to the gift of the divine healing. Lucifer has the power to cause people to sin, but she does not have the power to create it. Despite her power, she cannot make a blind person see, nor can she store someone's vision to normal simply by a single prayer. She can give trials and tribulations to sinners, but she cannot give a life and a happiness to humans. So this means that the enemy Satan has the ability to bring only tests, tribulation, disasters, and illness every day. But God's people bring the true happiness and the joy, leading to way to eternal life. Therefore, those who have a goodness and the truth in heart will seek the one true God and serve Him. Although there are many gods in this world, God takes these people who come before Him as His children and gives them eternal life and heaven. Genesis 2:13 mentions the name of the second river and the brief description of its location. It says the name of the second river is Gihon. It flows around the whole land of Cush. The literal meaning of Gihon is to be a full and overflow. The spiritual meaning is to boast and to take pride. The literal meaning is the overflowing. The spiritual meaning of the Gihon is to show off and comparable. Why did God attach such a meaning to this river? It's because He foreknew that civilization from this river would be excellent. And it says that Gihon flows around the whole land of Cush. It also flowed over the wide area, such like a first river Pishon. Then where is Cush? Cush is Ethiopia today, but the Cush is the Bible is a wider area than Ethiopia. People consider that the whole area between the Nile and the Red Sea as a Cush. You are looking at the picture of the Nile and the land of Cush. And you can see the Nile River. This area that goes in like a but is the Red Sea. The blue area is the Mediterranean Sea, and the triangle-shaped area is the Delta, and the land of the Nile River is Egypt, and the Egypt of the Bible. If you cross the Red Sea, you will see the wilderness and the mountain Sinai, and if you go further up, you will see the Dead Sea. You know the Dead Sea, right? If you pass by it, you will see the Sea of the Galilee. Today, the Nile is flowing around the area. Nile is formed by the combination of many headwaters. First, the White Nile from the Sudan and the Blue Nile from the Ethiopia come together. Then another branch of the Ethiopia, Ebara River, joins it. When the Nile entered into Egypt, there are no more tributaries. It flows northward and reaches the Mediterranean. We can see that the river originating from the Cush is an important source of the Nile River. Here, the river that starts from the Cush is the Gihon in the Bible. Of course, the river today is very different from when God first made it. Where a big river flows into the sea, the sediments of the river from a delta. The delta area is very fertile, and many animals and plants can live on and around it. It's also very useful for man. Above all, it's very good for farming. It's a lot of fresh water, and it's also close to the sea. That's why the cities and the civilizations formed around the delta areas. And the delta of the Nile River is the biggest in the world. Around this Nile Delta is located the Cairo, the capital city of the Egypt, as well as Alexandria, the second biggest city of the Egypt. Also, the Egyptian civilization is the oldest civilization of the world. It's said that it begins around the 3200 BC and flourished for about 3,000 years. This Egyptian civilization had a more splendid civilization than any other on earth. So we can see some amazing relics of Egyptian civilizations. Most famous ones are the pyramids and the Sphinx. If you want to find out about the very long history of BC, you can find it by going to the Egyptian Museum or by looking around the historical sites. This story of Greece is not even close to that of Egypt. The so-called Khufu's pyramids is a structure that is one of the seven wonders of the world. In addition to these pyramids, there are more than 80 pyramids in Egypt. In the Egypt Museum, there are more than 12,000 relics in display. Mostly, they are relics of the ancient kingdom of Egypt, and it will take many days to see each of them in detail. One of the most eye-captivating the relics is one of the Tutankhamun, which is the famous gold mask. The civilization that developed around the Gihon left many boastful relics and remnants that can be seen. God foreknew this fact and gave this name, the Gihon, to this river, which means to boast and to be proud of. There was a good reason why mysterious structures such as the pyramids and the Sphinx were built here and the civilization was able to develop outstandingly. If you go to the Sphinx, the pyramids, and look closely, you can see that even though they were built thousands of years ago, they were built that way without any single nail being hammered in, and still firmly stand no matter how long they faced a strong wind. If you look inside the Sphinx, you can see how geometrically developed it is. These buildings are built geometrically and are so wonderfully constructed as if measured with a ruler without cracks or gaps even after countless a period of time have passed. You can see this amazing fact by going inside the Sphinx. They were built precisely in geometric way. It's because this area has a close relationship with Adam, who was living in the Garden of Eden. I'll explain about it in detail at a later time. Dear brother and sister, now let me explain about the third river. Genesis 2, chapter 2, 14 says the name of the third river is Tigris. It flows east of Assyria. The name Tigris is a Hebrew language. It is Hittical. The Hittical literally means to flow as fast as an arrow, but God says its name spiritually has the meaning of the being barren and to disturb. Why does it have such a meaning? It's because of the relationship of Israel with the nations that were formed around the river. It says the Tigris flowed to the east of Assyria. Tigris today originated from the Turkey, flows through the Iraq, and goes out into the Persian Gulf. Centering the upstream of the Tigris, there was a nation that flourished around 3000 BC, it's Assyria. Assyria occupied this area even before Abraham was born. The city of the nation Assyria is also Assyria, and today we can find the Tigris on the right-hand side of Assyria. This nation Assyria flourished in this area for a long time and conquered northern Israel around 721 BC. But in 625 BC, possession of this land changed when Babylon took over. Babylon enlarged this power and it's even conquered in the southern Jordan in 586 BC, when Babylon was conquering the southern Judah. They took the exiles to Babylon three times. One of the exiles was Daniel. That's why in the book of Daniel is a record about the Tigris. Daniel chapter 10 says, on 21st day of the first month while I was by the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris. But they, by the time the owner of this land changed to the Persia again from Babylon. Babylon was conquered by the Persia in 539 BC, so the land of Israel was also ruled by the Persia until 330 BC. As explained above, the nations that conquered the land around the Tigris conquered and ruled over Israel. As a result, the land of Israel today become a barren and a dry land. Also, Israel still has a conflict with the countries around the Tigris. Today, Iraq is located in this area. God foreknew what kind of a relationship Israel would have with the countries that would take over the area around the Tigris. Of course, when God first made the Hiddekel, it was quite different from the Tigris of today. Let me conclude it. We've looked into the three of the four rivers that God made. Most people do not know that waters of Eden and the second heaven pour into this earth and form four rivers. Even the Bible scholar interpreted the Bible literally and think that the Garden of Eden must be somewhere around this four river. It saddened me to see people trying to find the Garden of Eden only on earth. If they rely on God and pray and ask Him, He will surely give them inspirations. During the Noah's flood, a window opened in the sky and the rain poured down. Yes, it covered even the highest mountains on earth. It was enough water to cover the earth. Where did all the water come from? Now that the science and the astronomy have developed, people understand that area or other dimension of a space. Where did the manna come from in the Bible during the Exodus? It's very freezing in the high sky measured minus 100 degrees Celsius. So if you go on an airplane, they say that it gets down to the minus 72 degrees Celsius outside of the plane. But how did the manna come from? If the manna had just come down from the high heaven, high sky, it would have all come down frozen and broken. Second, Stephen looked up into the sky and saw the heavens open and our Lord standing at the right hand of the throne of God and the Lord ascending and disappearing into the clouds. Why did the Lord go up to into the clouds? You would think He would continue to go up, but why did He get covered by the clouds and disappear into the clouds? UFOs, if you think about this comprehensively, people should realize that something, but they don't know anything. Also, how should the UFOs be explained? Even though science develops, this is still not clearly explained. We must acknowledge that there is a spirit world. We cannot have answers if we do not have understanding of the spiritual world. It's something to be so thankful for that God is explaining the detail of the Bible to us. In the next sessions, we will finish up with the fourth and the last river, and then we'll go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam lived in the Garden of Eden for a long time. I will explain to you some incidents that took place in those long years and that have a relationship with this earth. For example, the secret about the dinosaurs and the pyramids will be unveiled. The spiritual things that God unfolds and teaches us are mysterious, interesting, and good for our instruction. I hope you will understand them well and make them your spiritual bread. In doing so, may you become a true child of God who is spiritually well-educated, and to show your heart with God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces, and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness, and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer, and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.